Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. Let us bow our heads. Merciful God, we say thank you. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your strength. Thank you, God, for just letting us be in the number one more time. Thank you, God. And as we come before you this morning, asking you to order my steps as you use me to minister to your word this morning. Speak to your people. Touch their hearts and their minds. Open up their spirits to receive what the Spirit of the Lord will say to the church this morning. Let them hear the word and receive it, and let it grow and bring forth fruit. Let us all be on the same frequency. Let us hear what you want us to hear and do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you will continue to orchestrate and order this service. As you will be glorified, the devil will be terrified, and your people shall be edified. We thank you for ordering my steps as you use me to minister your word this morning. I need you to speak through me, to speak to your people. Let the fire of God fall fresh in this place, that we may say it was good for us to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let us please turn our Bibles to Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts, the 9th chapter. When you read it, please say amen. Acts, the 9th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Then we're going to skip to 15 through 18. Let us read. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, or he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom ye are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened up his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Let's go to verse 15. Verses 15. And it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, and this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He saw, said, "Brother, all the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like a scale fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Amen. That is the reading of the word. You may be seated this morning. The title of this message for you this morning is Answering the Call. Answering the Call. The Bible often mentions people being called by God for specific ministry and services, and to be called by God is to be chosen by God for a certain purpose. We must understand that every person have a purpose that God has given them, and every person have an assignment. No matter how small, no matter how big you are, no matter how young you are, or no matter how old you are, you have an assignment. The question is, will you answer the call? Will you fulfill God's purpose for your life and fulfill the calling that He has given you? And one thing that we must understand, that no one can do what God has called you to do. Someone can do similar, but not the same. Because not everyone has the same assignment. I don't have the assignment as Minister Walker. I don't have the assignment as Deacon Ireland. I don't have the assignment as the General Overseer. They have their own assignment. They have been called by God, and by God, they have been chosen with a specific assignment. But I do also agree to this, that over time, God will give you a new assignment when you have completed the first assignment. Not until you complete the first one will you get another one. For those who think that God changes His mind, that is a lie. Your first assignment is always in accordance with your current assignment or future assignment. Example, Moses. God brought him into the house of Pharaoh to teach him wisdom and give him knowledge and understanding how to rule. He learned underneath Pharaoh. Then after he killed the Israelite and killed the man in Egypt, he went away for 40 years. 40 years, God trained him how to lead a people. His assignment was still in leadership, and then God gave him his real assignment to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. He was given the assignment to lead sheep, and the sheep did follow him until he got to a certain point. It is always important for you to continually to stick to your assignment. That's why we see so many churches are in a muck, because people are in the wrong assignment. Everybody want to preach. It's not everybody's called to preach. Preaching is not the highlight of my life. Serving is my highlight of my life. When you are called to preach, you are called to serve. You are called to do exceptional things beyond what other people will do. When we call pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's called to get up. So if you like to sleep, you're in the wrong thing if you want to preach. If you want to pastor, you've got to understand that pastoring comes with a weight, comes with a that's why God said, I have chosen my pastor after my own heart. You don't just become a pastor. You have been truly called to that assignment. You've got to love people. You've got to understand people for who they are. You can't just write people off when you're a pastor. You can't just block people out because when you're a pastor. You've got to do some things that other people won't do. There's certain limitations that we have as minister that the pastor don't have. That's why it is very important that you stick to your lane. Stay in your lane. I'm not going to go over into the deacon's lane and do what they're supposed to do. There's nothing wrong with assisting, but I'm not going to go over them. And that's the problem with people. We're always trying to do something that God hasn't called you to do. That's why the anointing is not working in that area for you, because that's not your assignment. Stick to your assignment. You have been made, given the kingdom of God. One of the things that we will learn and understand, and throughout this season of our lives, as answering the call and doing what God called us to do, we are going to do extraordinary things for God. But no, don't ever forget that is God who is giving you the gifts, the talents, and the ability to do what you have do. All the glory belongs to God. All the honor belongs to God. Everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I am, it belongs to God. Everything that I have belongs to God. It's not mine. I'm only a steward over it. We should never forget where God has brought us from. We have to understand God's calling today. It's to redeem people by the blood of Jesus so that they may understand that grace, mercy, and salvation is available to them. There's three types of call or calling. The first one is you being called to the body of Christ. When you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he comes to your heart and into your life when he knocks at your door. When he knocks at the door of your heart and you receive him, that's the first call. You become a part of the body of Christ. You become a part of the body of believers. That's why we have brothers and sisters and uncles in different countries and cities and towns and nations. So when you leave here, you can go to New York, and then we have brothers and sisters there that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can go to China. They are brothers and sisters in China. So we have a big, big family. Being called to the body of Christ, you must understand that in the New Testament, the church, the ecclesia, the call out one, mean the call out assembly. We are called out of the world to do God's work. The call to salvation involves us being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ every day that we live. That's why Jesus said, every day that you are living, you have to crucify your flesh, because your flesh is opposite against the spirit. Every day, God is chiseling off a little piece of you and making you more and more like him. His election and call to salvation is a part of the eternal plan for us to go to have the guarantee of inheritance into heaven. Romans 8, 29 and 30 says, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. The second type of call or calling is called to make disciples of others. The call of for all believers is to fulfill the Great Commission. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19, 20, and 20 said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We are supposed to be sharing the gospel with every person that we come in contact with, sharing them Jesus Christ, sharing them how good God has been in your life, sharing to them who you are after God has delivered you and brought you onto the solid rock where we are standing today. In the scripture, the word call is used most often to refer to belonging to Christ. This is the sense of the calling is especially prominent in letters of Paul. Romans 1 through 6 says, including yourself who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. When we are called to follow Jesus Christ, you must understand that we are called to restore relationship with God, with other people, and with the world around us. That's why we are watchmen and women praying and interceding for the world today, because many of them are blind, just like we used to be blind to the devil's devices, blind to the situations that are going on in our life, blind to whatever they're dealing with. That's why we got to pray for them, that their eyes may be open, the scales may be taken off, their hearts may not be hardened, but it will be softened. So when God knocks at their door, they can let him enter into their life. They can let him say, come on in, God. Be my Savior. Be my deliverer. Be my healer. Be my way maker. Be my promise keeper. Be my mighty deliverer. Deliver me out of my Egypt situation. Deliver me from drug. Deliver me from whatever I'm dealing with. Heal me and deliver me. The third calling is the call to our assignment from God. Every one of us must understand that we have an assignment. And if you don't know your assignment, you need to ask God for your assignment. I can't tell you your assignment. Your assignment is found when you pray and seek God and develop an intimate relationship with God. Because after a while, you have become established. God began to speak to you and give you an assignment. If it's ushering that God has called you to usher, usher well and do it in excellence. If it's prayer warrior, do it well. If it's just cleaning the bathroom, do it and do it well. Every gift and every assignment, it will always understand that when you go to heaven, I will get the same crown you will get for my for whatever assignment I have. If I complete it, I'm not going to get a bigger crown than Bishop. Bishop's not going to get a bigger crown. He may have more stars on it because he fulfilled his assignment to the full capacity. I may have just 20 stars because I may just do a little bit of my assignment. But everybody will have their stars. No assignment is lesser than the other. Every assignment is just as important as preaching. You want me to explain it to you? If someone don't clean the church, that person who has that assignment, when we come in, we won't have a fresh, clean environment. What will happen? The health inspector will probably come in one day and said, we can't have people in this environment. So that's why it's so important that that person cleans, wipe the bathrooms, do everything that they're supposed to do. Another important, when we have our deacons. When we're at home sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, deacons get an alarm that says someone is at the church door. He's got to get up. Look to make sure that this facility is taken care of. That's why he's a deacon. That's why it's so important that he serve, that he's serving. During the day, when we're not here, Deacon Ireland or Bishop may be here with the alarm company or some company doing something to make sure that the edifice is well taken care of, that we don't fall, we don't get hurt, whatever the circumstance. So you see how important it is. Every person's assignment work towards fulfilling a goal to the accomplishment of service, working effectually and in the spirit of excellence. So don't think that whatever assignment God has given you is lesser than the other person. Every assignment is just as important. You may not think so, but it is. When you don't do your assignment, that's an area that lacks, that creates an issue. It's just like on your job. When one person doesn't show up for work and all four of you need to be on a team to work, when one person's not there, it's just the same thing. So it's so important that you stick to your assignment and do your assignment. Very important. God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. After salvation, we are furthering and growing and maturing. God will build us up and give us the gifts and the talents that we need and build our gifts, mature our gift, and your gift will make room for you. Your gift will always make room for you. Not the room that you want, the room that God wants. Because many of us want fame and fortune, and you can't handle fame and fortune. Many of us want this, but you can't handle that. Our assignments are given to us according to our abilities and our gifts and our talent. And God will never give you an assignment that you cannot do and cannot accomplish. God knows each and every one of us and our limitations. God knows who you are and whose you are. He is so infinite in wisdom that he knows what to give you and what not to give you. Don't we understand that? The Holy Spirit also distributes these gifts and gives us these gifts according to our ability. Paul gives us the opportunity to see who he is and what God has called him to do. And today we're going to talk about two people when it comes to calling and accepting the calling. One, Paul, and secondly, Jesus. Paul was given extraordinary opportunity to do great things for the kingdom of God. In the text, we'll see that Paul, first of all, started off when he was crucifying the believers, bringing them out of their homes, dragging them into the synagogue, whipping them and beating them and killing them and stoning them. When Stephen got killed, he was one of the persons that helped being a witness to make sure that Stephen died. So when God chose him, as you always will know, that I strongly believe God chose him out of great wisdom because Paul was persecuting the church at that time in Jerusalem, killing innocent people each and every day. And then all of a sudden, Paul was on his way to Damascus riding on a horse with a couple of men ready to go to Jerusalem to take people who were of the way, which is believing in Jesus Christ, who believed that Jesus was the Son of God and rose on the third day, that the apostles kept on preaching about at that time during that season. And Paul was well-educated, powerful man of God, powerful. So what he would do as he was riding on his way to Damascus, God spoke to him and said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul turned around, who are you, Lord? But he knew. He knew who God was because he was well-versed in scripture, well-taught like many unbelievers. They know the word. They know it better than some of the saints. They can tell you scriptures. You can't tell them scripture and make it work in their own good. And say, the Bible said this, and I remember when I was going to Sunday school or such and such, or I heard this, or I studied it for myself. So as Paul was on his way to Damascus, he answered the call from Jesus Christ. He heard the word, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He replied, who are you, Lord? Jesus answered directly, clearly, I am Jesus whom you persecuted. And Paul answered his call on the way to Damascus. And so how many of us have God pricked at our hearts and shown us what our calling is and have not answered the call? When will you answer the call? God has given you the house. He has given you the land. He has given you everything you ask him for. But when will you do what God has called you to do? When will you do what God has called you to do? I don't want when God really get ready to strip you from all the stuff he had already gave you. That's when you want to serve. Because maybe it's going to be too late. Many of us are doing things that are we want to gain all these materialistic things. And one thing we must understand, nothing that you have on earth will ever go with you when you go. But you better make sure that your eternal salvation is ready. Your eternal insurance, having eternal life, is prepared. If you are not prepared in those areas, prepare to meet him. Because at the end of everyone's journey, I've never seen anybody going to the bank and cash out their money and said, I'm bringing with them. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but loses his soul? We are so far away from God. We are so wanting so many materialism that we don't want to do what God has called us to do. Our assignment is vital and important. We can see that because Paul answered the call on the way to Damascus. We will see that Paul opened up many churches in Asia Minor. In Europe, he also wrote half of the New Testament. He preached the gospel in of season, out of season. He preached the gospel when he was shipwrecked, when he was in prison. Paul was the type of person when Saul and Silas prayed and was beaten because of the gospel. Say in the 16th chapter of Acts, they went into the dungeon and prayed and gave God worship. That's how powerful and committed he was to God. His assignment. He also wrote half of the New Testament. If he didn't accept that call, I do believe God would have used someone else. But God used him. He wrote many letters to the people of God. He encouraged and trained many men and women of God in the word of God through his letters, through his mentorship, through his encouragement, through his love, through his service, through his dedication. How many of us can say that we are truly committed to God, to our assignment? We see that that man of God pursued God with his whole heart. He didn't let go. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. As soon as something happened to us in the church, we want to walk away. Paul has been through so much. He was bitten by a snake. He was beaten for the gospel. He was spit on. He was tried to be killed by the Jewish people, the Roman people. So many people. But still, he kept on fighting the fight. He kept on going. He kept on seeking. He kept on preaching. He kept on teaching. He kept on sharing. How many of us, we can really say, we're going to keep on keeping on? going. No matter what it costs us. No matter what we have to give up. No matter what we have to let go. He kept on keeping on. He had many obstacles, many adversities, many circumstances that happened in his life where Paul could have said, I'm turning back. But Paul did not. He kept on. And because of his perseverance. And he didn't do it according to his will. He did it according to God's will. Because God gave him the power. God gave him the strength. God gave him the ability. God gave him the talent. God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And used him just like he will use you. He will use you as a prayer warrior in your prayer closet. He will use you as a witness and a light on your job to a dark situation. He will use you in the grocery store to witness to that young lady that is strung out on drugs, that you can recognize the spirit and you can speak to the spirit and the demons will come out. God can use you in the store to the store clerk that is in an abusive relationship that you can witness to and attest to, and you can hug her and demons come out of her life and she get healed and be set free. God can use you if you want to be used. God can use you if you answer the call. Things will work out better when you answer the call. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's going to work out in your good. He's going to work it out in your favor. He will establish you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. And he will encourage you and give you the wisdom that you need to do your assignment. And as we look at Paul's assignment, we see that Paul did not give up. But Paul is just like many of us today, sinful and wretched. Paul was a religious terrorist. Paul was wicked and evil and spiteful and vindictive. But God turned him around. That just to say, God can use you and turn you around. God can turn your family members around. God turned me around. And so he can turn you around. There were some wicked people in that time. And Paul was one of them. And God turned him around. And if we really want to look at Paul's life, we can say because we are human, we can say Paul was not really, should have been given the opportunity to accept Christ because he was so wicked to the Christians. But it's just like people that are in the world that are broken, people that are mass murderers, killers, rapists, and all these people that do need the gospel as well. Do need Christ, do need deliverance, do need healing, do need restoration and empowerment. These same people, they need Christ just like. Paul's story is a story of grace and mercy. It's a story of love and unconditional love that God has for each and every one of us. That you are just as important as a wretched, disciple, wicked individual. You are just as important. That's why Christ said, I died for you before you even knew. I gave my life for you while you were yet sinner, while we were yet in our sins and our iniquity. He thought about us, made a plan to reconcile us back to God. Thank God for his love and his undying mercy towards us. Another thing that we can learn from Paul, that Paul was humble. And a powerful witness for Christ. In Acts 20 and 19 tells us that he served the Lord with all humility and with tears and with the trial that happened to him throughout the plots of the Jews. Acts 28 and 31 says, Paul shared the good news of Jesus Christ boldly without hindrance. He preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, even with obstacles. Even bound in chains, even in the darkest place of the prison, he was still witnessing. Paul was not afraid to tell others of the Lord and how God has changed his life and how great God is in his life. The song Awesome, I can truly believe that Paul knew what it is for God to be awesome in his life. Awesome. We do know awesome as well, because if we look back over our life and where he brought us from, we can truly say, if it was not for the Lord being on our side, they would have buried us right now. We would have been in the ground a long time ago. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for looking beyond our fault. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, that when you look at me, you don't see my sin, but you see Jesus Christ, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, love. While we were going through, Paul kept on keeping on. Even to the end of his life, Paul kept on preaching, teaching, sharing, mentoring, and doing everything he had to do for Jesus Christ. He was faithful until his last breath. How many of us want to be faithful until our last breath? He kept on doing great things for the kingdom of God. He advanced the kingdom of God in that age with so much possibility and continual moving of God and the gospel. We can also learn that when we totally surrender to God, when we totally surrender, not when we give half of him, when we totally surrender to God, the sky is the limit to God using you and doing anything that he asks you to do. Paul was fully committed, fully persuaded, fully committed. What are you committed to? Who are you committed to? Are you more committed to your job? Are you more committed to your finances? Are you more committed to getting things? Are you more committed to that man? Are you more committed to that woman? Are you more committed to your children? Are you more committed to things other than Christ? Who is first in your life? Is it God or is it everything else? God said, I'll never let you have any other God before me. No other God before him. We need to be committed to God and stop being committed with our lips. Committed with your action. Your actions is what we want to see. We are tired of people saying, I'm called to this and called to that. And we don't see no proof in your call. We don't see no actions. We don't see no works. We don't see no fruits. All we see is a widow up tree. It's time for commitment. It's time for commitment other than being committed to yourself. And stop being selfish and become selfless. When you are brought with a price through Jesus Christ, you surrender your all. You belong to God. You are not your own. You are Christ and Christ's ambassador. You are to be doing the will of God and not your own will. That's why we can't get you to do nothing, because you ain't committed to nothing. We can't even get you to show up for church on time. You ain't even committed to being here at 10 o'clock. You ain't commit, but you more committed on your job when you got a clock in at 7:23 or 8 o'clock. So that's where it lies. We can tell where you're, who you worship, because you have no respect for God. When you serve God and you need to be here as an usher, you need to be here early. You know you need to be here early. When you're in leadership, any leadership position, they tell you to be there early. You may start at 3 o'clock. I start 3 o'clock at work, but I get there 2:45 sometime, because I know, as an example, I got to lead by example. In the church, we got to lead by example. You know what your post is. Why are you late? You ain't late for your job. You ain't late for a doctor's appointment. You ain't late to go out and eat. You ain't late to cash your check. You ain't late to go into the bank, but you late for God. That shows where your attitude and your spirit. If you can get up early to get your kids out for school, you can get up early to pray. Let's be real, because you ain't really committed. You only committed when your butt is on the fire. You only committed when you're going through a trial. You only committed when you want something from God. You only committed when you are in a desperate situation where you can't reach nobody else. That's when you get committed. You only committed when you want stuff. And God said, I ain't no lottery. I don't want no more part-time lovers in 2021. We want full-time. Full-time lovers. Commit yourself to God and see him work in your life. Just like he worked in the Hebrew boys. They were committed to God. No matter what. They were committed unto that. They say, put me in the fire. They didn't care. They was willing to die for Christ. Just like many other men and women of God. In the word of God. That kept on keeping on. They were committed to their purpose. Committed to the will of God. Committed to fulfilling their assignment. How many of us really can say we're committed to our assignment? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to drop dead for lying. Because if we dare to be real, you lack it. You know what your assignment is. We ain't got a prophet lie to you. You know what your assignment is. You know what God called you to do. And stop waiting on the pastor to appoint you. Titles don't mean nothing. When you work and do what your title is, we'll appoint you. There's no need for you to have a title and then we give it to you, don't do no work. Prove yourself first. We're giving out too many titles in the kingdom of God. Apostle this, bishop that, chief apostle this, and all this chief people. And they don't even do no work. Don't have no proof behind it. No fruits. You got still got five members and you went open 25 years. Shut your church down. Let's be real. You should have some fruits. At least 10 more. The five you started was the five you still got. Matter of fact, the five you got ain't even there because they spaced out. We need to fulfill our assignment. Be committed to what God has called us to do. And we have to stop thinking that our reward is going to come from pastor. I love Bishop. But let me tell you. He is not going to give you your reward. Y'all are hiding from him. I ain't going to do it. I'm going to tell Bishop I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to. Let me tell you something. You ain't studying, Bishop. God has watched you. He is the one who gives you your reward. He is the one who, when you get to that gate, you have no excuse. Because Bishop and First Lady will not be standing there. You will be. And he'll say, what did you do with the gifts and the talents? Will you be like that one who'd use his talent and hit the talent? Or will you be with the one who had the two and the other one that had, I believe it was seven, and multiplied? Will you hide your talent? Would you hide your gift? Fulfill your assignment. Because we're looking for people's approval. I don't look for people's approval. I look for God's approval. Because at the end of the day, if I drop dead today or go on to glory tonight, go to sleep, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because I answer the call and fulfill the assignment. Will you fulfill your assignment today? Will you fulfill your assignment? Will you stop waiting and sitting on the sidelines of the church and get into the race? Become a laborer and labor for God. Labor for God. Labor for God. We have to continue to be committed. Paul wrote from prison, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become through the whole imperial guard that all the rest of my imprisonment is for Christ. How many of us will go to prison for Christ? And stay in prison. And experience some of the harshest experience that you can ever experience. Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21. It's for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. We can see through Paul's entire life. As he lived his life. At the latter part of his years. He lived for Christ totally 100%. Just like when he was fighting to take the believers in. And persecute them. He even did more for Christ than he did when he was unsaved. He advanced the kingdom of God tremendously, tremendously. And now we can look at Jesus' life and we can understand Jesus accepted the call by coming in the flesh so that he can redeem mankind. Jesus came down that you and I can have life and have it that more abundantly. Jesus stepped into humanity so he can reconcile each and every one of us back to himself, to God. Jesus accepted the call. If he did not accept the call, where would we be today? I'm thanking God that he accepted the call, because he made a way that I can have the opportunity to serve Christ. I can have the opportunity through eternal life. My family can also have the opportunity. Jesus came down so that we all can hear and see and understand that God had a plan. He has the master plan. He has the plan, just like he has a plan for your life. Jesus went through all that he had to go through, and he understood that even though he had to go to the cross and all the things that he was going to go through, he said, Father, send me. I prepare me a body and I will go. And he came and continue on his journey. We can understand through Jesus' life on today, which is a Palm Sunday, when Jesus was riding on the donkey on his way into Jerusalem. The same day on Palm Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, they were throwing their clothes on the ground and palm leaves and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were worshiping him in the highest. They were giving him glory and honor and the praise. Those same people, I can really divulge to believe, some of those people was the people that he fed with the two fishes and the loaves. Those are some of the people that he healed sickness and diseases and infirmity. But within a few days, they will tell Pilate, Pilate, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. They were people that was in that crowd that got healed by Jesus' love and compassion. And now 3 days later, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. As he entered into Jerusalem, he understood that he was going towards his death. He was going towards his burial. He was going towards his resurrection. But it was not just for any cause. It's for the whole entire world. It's for every person, every individual, none that is better than none, the greater or the lesser. It's for everybody. He had made the opportunity for salvation for everyone. Jesus continued on his way. He accepted his assignment and he kept on pursuing Christ. He kept on doing what God has called him to do. First of all, he began to preach and teach in the synagogue, and he began to teach and preach outside and sharing the word of God. He was sharing his Father, and as he began to heal people from miracles and signs and wonders began to show up, he began to show forth his assignment and his the will of God by touching people's lives and healing them and delivering them. There was people that were healed from the issue of blood, people's eyes that were opened up, people that was delivered from all sort of sicknesses and diseases and infirmity. He began to move and show forth the miracles of God. When you can see his humanity, when Lazarus died, he cried. He was showing that everything that you will experience, I will experience too. So anything that you come to me with, I can sympathize. I can heal it. I can deliver you from it. I can touch you and revive you and rejuvenate you. Because there is nothing that you can experience that I will not experience. Because while I was down here on earth, I went through everything that you went through. And just like Jesus will experience betrayal by someone, Jesus experienced the spirit of betrayal through Lazarus. But I believe Lazarus' purpose was fulfilled in his assignment. His assignment was to do what God wanted him to do. Jesus knew in advance that he was going to be betrayed. Jesus knew that Lazarus was given that assignment. His assignment was complete. Lazarus was very instrumental and important toward making sure that we understand that even though we can be with Jesus all this time, our soul can still be a castaway. We can preach the gospel just like Paul said and do all these things for Christ and our soul be lost. That's why we got to look within ourselves to make sure that we don't miss the mark. You've got to look within yourself so you don't mix the mark. You got to understand that even through Jesus' betrayal, many of us will experience betrayal, and it's not going to be someone always from the outside. And the spirit of betrayal is a spirit that comes on individual, not just individual, but individuals. In your lifetime, if you live long enough, someone will betray you. Someone will betray your trust. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes it's your spouse. Sometimes it's the person on your job. Sometimes it's your prayer partner. Sometimes it's you deceiving yourself. So you got to understand, Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and he kept on going. He kept on pursuing Christ. He kept on doing everything that he needed to do so that we can be reconciled back to God. Even when he was on the cross, he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? It is finished. It is done." He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He went through all of this and still forgave us. He went through all of this and still did not give up, because he could have turned back, because he was the only perfect being that ever walked on the earth. Stand, let us stand.